Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week, sir?
Great, Jimmy. How are you, sir?
I am very good. You want to know why I'm good, Andy?
Because it's getting warmer again?
Well, that is one reason why I'm doing well. But let me give you another reason. We get today to do one of my favorite shows. Okay. It's the off season, so it gives us the opportunity to do a lot of different things. We've done this before. It's become an annual event, and this is where we get to name our top 10 most important players for the upcoming season. Very deliberate about using the word important, Andy, as opposed to best. And it's fun whenever we make up a list. Our listeners always get back to us with critiques of our list, Andy. That's part of it. But the other part of this that I enjoy so much is it gives us a little glimpse into how the mind of Andrew P. Shea works.
Yes. We like our, what I call listy things. We like to do listy things.
Yes.
And most important is subjective, right? Completely subjective. And, you know, having said that, my subjectivity is generally right and your subjectivity is up for debate. So let's make that clear going in as we identify these 10, as we identify this top 10 listy thing. But yes, let's go. Let's knock it out and let's get to a listy.
All right, fair enough. But one point to add, I like doing this with multiple of our co-hosts. So I will be doing this also early next week with Chris Buchanani. And since you and I only have really three segments because of the Ask Andy segment, I'm going to hold off on my list until I'm with Chris. So today, my role here is to tell you where you are wrong. So we'll go from there. Let's start, Andy. Who is number 10 on your list of 10 most important Penn State football players?
So it might be better if we start with number 10 when you say, what is at number 10 for me, instead of who is at number 10? Because my number 10 is anybody not with the name on the back of their jersey who lines up at the wide receiver position for Penn State in 2025. That's it. That's so important for as far as I'm concerned. A year ago, 292 completions for Penn State. 102 of those went to somebody who played the wide receiver position. That's 35% of your passing game in a season going to wide receivers. That's, need I remind you that Penn State still managed to average 30 plus points a game and have a pretty powerful offense despite that. But you don't need a wide receiver one. You don't need three guys to come. You just need somebody to emerge as kind of a little bit of a threat. That's all you need. Somebody to emerge and become a threat. It's so, so important, Jimmy, for this football team that somebody, anybody, some kind of out, I'm not saying deep threat, middle threat, any kind of threat. It's just really important and would help this offense tremendously. So there's number 10, Jimmy. Anybody not with the name on the back of their jersey playing a wide receiver is my number 10.
Already, Andrew Pease throws us a curveball right out of the gate. Care to put a name there, Andy, to say, you know what, of the group, this is the one that I think most likely to be that guy?
No, mystery meat, Jimmy. It is full head-on Salisbury steak mystery meat because you never know what's in your Salisbury steak. It's just like, what's in there? I don't really know, but I ordered Salisbury steak. It's just full mystery meat to the position. I'm not, after 2 years of this, I don't dare go that far just because I'd be fooling myself and fooling the audience. I'd be guessing and just be like, huh, I don't know. Let me just draw a name out of the hat. I'm just seeing anybody, somebody emerge as kind of a threat.
Well, once more, we have a mystery meat reference when talking about the wide receivers. You went with Salisbury steak. I think a lot of people will use Spam. And to make our listener Jimmy from Forest City happy, I think he's the one who put it out there. Or we could be talking about Scrapple. All right, number 10, the mystery wide receiver. Who do you have at number 9 on your most important player list, Andy? Who or what do you have at number 9?
The rest are who's. Number 9 is Vega Wane, right? He's going to be the starting left guard. He was the best offensive lineman a year ago who was not a full-time, every-down sort of regular starter. And when I say he was the best offensive lineman who was not one of those guys, that isn't all of college football, in my opinion, right? So up the middle, you always look up the middle at when you start on both sides of the ball. Center, two guards, quarterback, running back. When you're talking about offense, the middle is so important, right? You got Nick Dawkins there. This offensive line was a beast. They were just a beast down the stretch a year ago and through the college football playoffs. They just kept getting better and better as the season went on. And they were just an absolute juggernaut. And he was part of that, right? He was part of that. Now he's going to play a bigger role in that. Drew needs a clean middle, right? Like a clean middle helps Drew Aller, the quarterback. I think Vega's an NFL prospect, 100%. As athletic and sort of diverse as he is, he's one of the most important guys because he has a next level potential as a full-time starter that just can kind of take this offensive line to a wee bit of the next level. So he made it on my list, number 9.
Andy, I think that Vega Ioane is a great pick. He's big. You use the expression the beast of an offensive line, and I think he represents that very well. He's huge, he's athletic, and I feel like someone from the offensive line should be on this list because This might be where I would do the generic like you did at the wide receiver position because there's so many players here. But if I had to choose, I think I would go Ioane because not only does he represent what they have been doing, his size, physicality, athleticism, but they also use him when they go to a 6 offensive line set. They put him in motion doing that something extra even as a lineman. For me, that might be the tiebreaker why I would go Vega Ioane. I'm very tempted by several of the other players, but he's the guy I would go with, right?
The most important unit for Penn State in 2025, if it's going to have success at the very highest of levels, will be this offensive line. There, I said it.
Very good. All right, that's number 9, Vega Ioane, representing the offensive line. Who do you have at number 8?
Got to talk about the tight end at some point, so I put it at number 8, and I'm going with Luke Reynolds. I just want to put it out there. I believe I'm correct. Mr. Reynolds was a 5-star recruit, if my ever-aging memory is correct. he's a 5-star guy. That's for a reason. I think he was kind of pushed a little bit into a larger role a year ago than maybe was initially planned. But my goodness, didn't he check plenty of boxes along the way? Look, he's a young guy. He's not a Mackey Award finalist candidate yet. Just don't think you're going to go, well, he's Tyler Warren's replacement. No, he's not. He is a candidate to be a really good starting tight end earlier than you might have thought. He will have help, right? Khalil Dinkins is, I'm a fan. I like I'm a fan of Khalil Deakins. I think he's got a little bit higher upside than even we've seen. Luke Reynolds clearly showed that he's got the potential to be the next guy. And plus, they also have your guy, JG, at the position, right? They got another guy behind him. Go ahead. You love him.
Andrew Rappelier.
There we go.
I just say we can't overlook him. We can't forget
him. No, you can't. But I think the guy that it shows all the tea leaves to emerge is Luke. I think the tight end position, obviously, it's become elite and important at Penn State as an integral part of their offense, no matter who the coordinator's been, because they have such good dudes there. He looks like the next really good dude there.
And you know what, Andy, you said he's not the replacement for Tyler Warren. I think when you're talking about the 2024 Tyler Warren, there aren't many guys in college football who could replace that. But think back to the position in 23 when Tyler Warren was sharing the position with Theo Johnson and Khalil Deakins. Think in those terms. Luke Reynolds may be, you know, number one out of the three, but you're going to see some of the other guys too, including Khalil Deakins. And I'm also with you, Andy, that I think he's underestimated a bit, might have a chance next year to really shine. All right, let's get to number seven. Who do you got?
Yeah, we're screaming through the early parts of the top 10. So number seven, I went defense, my first defensive guy. I didn't realize that till just now. Zane Durant, defensive tackle, right? Really important. Okay. He won't have as much known depth talent-wise behind and around him. Known. I use the word known cautiously, right? However, he is now and has become that guy in the middle, right? He's the guy in the middle that you, Jimmy, have craved. You talk about. You want Penn State to have that big sort of, you know, he's not the 330-pound nose tackle that you want, but man, is he an impact player. And he's a two-way impact player. Jimmy, what he did against the run last year might have even grabbed my attention more than his consistent pressure up the middle. I mean, 42 tackles, 22 solos, 11 TFLs, 3 sacks. He quickness, first step, shaking off blocks, straight up pressure up the middle with strength. He became elite. And he is going to get better. Not as much around him, so he won't have, quote unquote, as much help that we know of, maybe. Still an elite guy in the middle.
But on a defensive line, he'll also be helping the other guys along the line. All right, that's it for quarter number one. Lots more to go. Stick with us. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy cafe tea pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. This is quarter number two of our show. And Andy, today we are taking on the 10 most important players for the Penn State 2025 football season. This is always a fun exercise we do every year during the offseason. And let's just review real quickly. In quarter number one, we did your number 10 down through number 7. Number 10, of course, Andrew P. Shea with a curveball right off the bat. You know what, Andy? I usually start that first pitch is going to be the fastball. You want to get that first strike in? No. That is not the way of Andy P. Shea. You went curveball, and instead of a who, a what, you looked at a position, and you said number 10 was wide receiver. And, you know, it's a good choice because somebody, anybody needs to step up. Even if they're not elite, Andy, we want competence there. number nine, you went to the offensive line, which again could be another position you could look at as a group because it's so important how they coordinate. But you got the guy who would represent the offensive line. You went Vega Ioane, which I thought was a phenomenal pick. Number eight, you went tight end, Luke Reynolds. You just see that high, high upside from Luke Reynolds after that true freshman year where he got thrown out there probably a little sooner than anybody expected, and he handled it with no problem at all. Number seven, another great pick. Hey, Andy, it's killing me here. You're killing me because I'm agreeing with you like crazy with your choices. Number seven, you have defensive tackle Zane Durant, who really matured into quite a player last year, and we expect at least that this coming year. Fantastic first four picks, Andy. But you know what? I've not been critical at all, but you got six more picks for me to have an issue with. So
all right.
Let's get to it. Let's get to number six on your list of top 10 most important players for the 2025 season.
Yeah, so this one, it might be the positioning. This is where I put Catron Allen, right? One of the 2,000-yard running backs coming back, right? So the reason I put him at number six instead of higher was I think he already showed and completely carried the relative importance of what you need from him last season. It's all about a little devil in the details and getting better. You literally don't need an extra mile out of him. You literally need to be the last six or seven games you saw. That's all. That's exactly what you need out of Catron, right? He was a 1,000-yard rusher. When Singleton was compromised with that injury, where it was not available or limited availability, Catron carried the load. Right, you kind of forget that, don't you, Jimmy? And all that happened, you forget during that because it wasn't like they weren't playing, you know, Ohio State and or any of those teams. That's pretty much though what you need to know about Catron Allen is, yeah, he's part of a two-headed monster. Sometimes he's seen as the second guy, but he's exactly who he just needs to be. Exactly who you know he is. He did get a lot better last year, right? He turned 2 and 3 yard runs into 4 and 5 yard, 6 yard runs. He was better in the open field, hence his 5.1 yards per carry average. He's in my opinion, he's always been a really good running back. Now he's something else. He's sneaky good, right? He's an NFL talent and he's sneaky good now. Number six is Catron Allen because he's important. Because they only need him to be exactly what you know him and think him to be.
Andy, that's an interesting choice. I'm not sure he would be on a lot of people's list. See, this is what I expect from you, Andy. This is, like I said, a little look into the mind of Andy Shea and how it works. It's an interesting choice, and you're right. At the end of last season, he was playing at a different level. For him, he was still himself,
right?
But just a better version of it. And Andy, what I wonder when we see that is how much of that is maybe just Catron Allen being completely healthy? How much of it is some improvement with the offensive line? Because that offensive line was at its very best at the end of the season, also. But either way, Catron Allen. And Catron Allen at his best, Andy, is very, very important to this team. All right, yep. That's number six. We need to get to your number five guy.
Back on defense, I'm going to go with cornerback A.J. Harris. He's really important. So he's an impact player, right? And his impact last year was I've been thinking, I think it was a little subtle and a little more quiet than you might have expected. But when you looked at it a little bit deeper, he was really darn good, right? But it wasn't like in your face, overt, flashy. It was almost kind of like as the season moved on, his side of the field became more and more quiet and less. You saw it less on your TV screen as the season moved along. Does that make sense, Jimmy?
It was less tested, perhaps, Andy?
Yeah, that's a good word. It was less challenged. They will need him to be that to shut down his complete side of the field this year. That's important. You know, last year, 48 tackler, willing combatant against the run is the way I want to put it. Very good tackler, by the way. Way better tackler than you would have thought out of a corner. His impact for me and his importance goes just beyond being a pass cover dude. That matters, right? Because that's what he does at corner. But his next level impact goes well beyond that. That's going to be really important for Penn State. One side of the field, the other side of the field is going to be a little bit of open season and figure it out. So I put AJ at number five. And I think, obviously, NFL talent, NFL player. And I'll be interested to see when he is a known shutdown corner, what does that look like at the next level? Because he's got another level in him. That's clear.
Andy, I don't think anybody doubts the physical tools that AJ Harris has. And I think you combine that with just playing the importance of the cornerback position, okay? The ability to take on that number one guy on the opposing team, an area of the field that the opposing offense just doesn't want to challenge. But what I like also is you brought up the other point in talking about his tackling, and you use the expression he's a willing tackler, not only a good tackler, but willing. And we're used to safeties who love to come up in the box and be a factor against the running game. And we at Penn State have seen that kind of player over and over again. What's interesting is seeing the cornerback who oftentimes they are physically built to stop, the passing game, but to find one that not only can, but is very willing to stick his nose in there, Andy, and do it well. That's also so important as a cornerback.
Yeah, I love him. I love a corner blitz, right? Like, it's not something that Penn State last year did a lot of. Manny Diaz loved it. Manny Diaz did a lot of it. Dude, AJ Harris is such a strong candidate for the corner blitz. But in order to be able to unleash that, it's got to, the back end can't suffer for it, right? So that's the sort of the sticky thing that Jim's going to have to figure out as the DC. Can I bring AJ Harris? Because that guy's got, impact blitzer also, which is not something we saw last year. He's got that written all over him. You can just see it. You're like, oh, God, I can't imagine that guy blitzing. But you can't blitz him at the cost of weakening yourself, to the point of having cracks in your foundation on the back end. That's where the other parts of it matter. But, man, if they can unleash him on the blitz, brr.
You know what, Andy? I just want to point out that it was you who first brought up Manny Diaz in the show, not me.
However, it was me.
It was you. If you take that aspect of Manny Diaz's aspect, I'm going to be happy. I love seeing those corner blitzes a couple years ago. All right, Andy. Number six, Catron Allen. Number five, AJ Harris. Who do you have at number four?
Yeah, so number four is they got two safeties, right? Jalen Reed's the key, Wheatley. I only put one of them on my list. They're both important. I put Zaki Wheatley on the list because he came so far last year so fast. I dare to think that there's another level, and that will be important as Penn State sort of figures out the other half of the field in front of the safeties when it comes to pass coverage. So the reason Wheatley's my number, when you build on a season like he did and you put a cap on it, right? And he did that sort of sets the beginning of the expectation going forward, right? He was the defensive MVP of the Fiesta Bowl. Unbelievable. That's the way. So that kind of effort is where you start in 2025 of an expectation for a guy like that? 95 tackles, 3 interceptions, 4 pass breakups. Playmaker who clearly has more next level tank in the gas. He does. Jimmy, you can see it. Like, okay, yeah, he's really good, but there is more next level tank in this guy. Not that it's he's untapped his potential. It's just there's more. There's so much more tank in the gas. He's so good and has the potential to be a top 2 or 3 round, you know, top 2 or 3 round pick in the NFL draft. That's what he's got in him. He's got that in him. Both safeties are really good. You know, I only have one on my list, and I went with Zakai Wheatley.
Tank in the gas, or is it gas in the tank, Andy?
Gas in the tank. I'm sorry, not tank in the gas.
I was ready to let it go, but it happened 3 times, so I've got to. I love that pick. And Andy, I think also you talked about how he finished the season. Yeah. As almost like that start to the next year, and I believe that. And I think also positionally, a safety is not just about the physical tools. It's about that anticipation, that experience, and learning those things. So I do believe that another year of experience, those wow things that we saw last year, we're going to see more this year. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter 2. Guess what? Ask Andy's coming up next. Stay tuned. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hall Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello, welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number 3. We all know what that means. It's time for your questions, and we're going to ask Andy. If you want to send a question in to Andy, just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. Andy, we should have known we wouldn't get away with this week's show without addressing this issue. And Frank from Bethlehem went right at it. He says, Andy and Jim, I'm still trying to process the naming of the field. Doesn't feel like all that much money at just over $3 million a year. Couldn't they raise much more money with a Paterno field? Would love your take.
Yeah, so so I think this is – I have 2 schools of thought. One is this is a Penn State thing. If you're a Penn State graduate, if you're a Penn State football fan, if you're a Penn State fan – of athletics or so whatever. If you're a Penn State fan / graduate, so you have ties to Penn State. Penn State's your school. Whatever that looks like for you. This is very personal to them. I am not. So I am not a Penn State quote-unquote fan or tied to the university any of that way. You happen to be in the opposite category as me, sir. So you, my opinion is, it was always going to come to where Beaver Stadium would have a name, especially after NIL became part of the equation, because money still matters. It's not quote unquote a lot of money, but it is a there is a second level commitment of this money that, in other words, the sponsor is also doing a lot of other things with Penn State University in terms of NIL and athletic support. So this is just part of that package. It was always going to have a name, and you always knew that it was going to be about Paterno Field at Beaver Stadium and Penn State. What about that? What about putting a name on the stadium? That's not how we do it. And that's exactly what I kind of like and expect out of my Penn State fans and Penn State loyalists. Yeah, I want you to be a little aggro and angry about it, because that's who you are. So for me, it was like, yeah, okay, it's just a matter of who it was and what they were going to have to call it. I didn't care. It was going to have to be something. But I fully embrace and understand for those that have strong or direct ties to Penn State, I fully understand and get it. It's just, I just don't have any skin in the game to have enough of sort of, my care meter runs at a 1 out of 10 on that. Whereas, but I understand that's not normal.
You know, it is an emotional issue at Penn State. And,
good way to put it.
You know, some Penn Staters now are using logic for an emotional issue. The logic being, well, gee, that $50 million over 15 years is $3 million per year. If we did some kind of fundraiser to honor Joe, we could easily surpass that $3 million per year. Let's hypothetically say that's true, Andy. There are other repercussions to doing anything to honor Joe Paterno, whether it's the statue or any announcement, anything that comes out.
True.
And this is not, I'm a big Joe Paterno proponent. I've been told, you know, is there any wrong time to do the right thing? And I do believe the right thing would be to honor him. The problem is, what are the repercussions of doing, quote unquote, the right thing? There will be repercussions in naming Paterno. Right or wrong, there will be those repercussions. I think we got to realize that. Now, on the money front, maybe looking at this just a little bit differently, is that $50 million is over 15 years, okay? So it's not really 15 million. You got to look at net present value of it too. So it's coming out, you know, it's a little different for the first 10 years versus the whole 15 years, but say it's a little over $3 million. That $3 million you're going to get in year 15, you know what that's worth right now? Net present value, Andy? Probably more like $1.5 million.
Yeah, I was going to say 1.5, 1.75.
Exactly. So understand that, and people will say, and this is what the university's putting out, this is the most money anyone ever got for the field, and they used, I think Ohio State had an agreement, but it was a two-year agreement, okay?
Right.
We're talking about tying up the naming rights of the field for the next 15 years, Andy, and when you look at it that way, you know, that $3 million a year is not a lot when you consider how much goes into NIL and everything else. So I do understand that argument. The university says, hey, this is the opportunity we have, so we're going forward with it. I do question whether that would always be their best opportunity. All right, let's move on, Andy, because I know we can do a lot on that and probably we'll do it more. This was an interesting one, talking Penn State history. John from Kingston said, I was reading an internet list of the top 25 players in Penn State history. There were three names on the list I felt had something in common. All three had a career that was linked to a teammate. And I feel like the teammate had the better Penn State career. So he has all three of the top guys. He worded this confusingly, so I'm going to try and straighten it out. He said all three of the ones named to the list, and the names I'm going to give you first in these comparison are going to be the ones that were on the list. But he believes the second guy had the better Penn State career. He starts with Franco Harris versus Lydell Mitchell, and Harris was picked over Mitchell. Matt Millen versus Bruce Clark. And Mike Bonchek and Sean Farrell. Do you remember those players, Andy?
So Franco and Lydell, I do. That one's sticky, right?
Could I help out, Andy, for two things? I've been the longtime Penn State guy.
Let me give what Millen and Clark.
Yes.
I get it, but no, that one's not sticky for me. That's easy. That one was Matt Millen. And I knew the last two names, but I'm not as well. I don't know it as well. So now I will hand it back to you. Franco Edwards versus Liddell is like, that's like Singleton Allen.
Well, and here's the interesting thing. He makes a great point about, I think, how these guys are perceived for their whole career, including their NFL career, versus how they were at while they were players. I remember, now, I was a youngster at the time when Franco Harris and Liddell Mitchell played, and I thought of Liddell Mitchell as the star player of the two in college. So it came as a surprise, both to me and to a lot of other people. Franco got drafted ahead of Liddell Mitchell.
Right.
But as far as the college career goes, I agree with John. I think Liddell Mitchell had the better career. Now, Matt Millen and Bruce Clark were on the team while I attended Penn State, while I was there. So I saw these guys live. I thought of Bruce Clark as being the better player. Matt Millen, which this should not be a shocker to you, Andy, was the more emotional player.
Correct.
The more, you know, would do some crazy stuff. Just a quick anecdote, and this is the way I remember it 45 years later. Matt Millen got frustrated. He was called for jumping the count offsides once or twice. You could just see body language. He was not a happy camper. He ended up just running through, and as I recall, it was a punting situation. He got through so quick. It's not like he went to block the kick. He went to tackle the punter, and he didn't even tackle him. He just ran through him, Andy. So Matt Millen was a crowd favorite. But again, I think that I understand, again, what John's saying. I actually agree with them. Munchak and Farrell, the tough thing there, Andy, is that they're offensive linemen.
Right.
That's tough to really judge. It's kind of like when we were talking about offensive linemen in our earlier discussion of ranking the top 10 most important players. But a quick anecdote, I have the opportunity to get these questions ahead of time. Quick anecdote that I read, just learned this, Andy, and it involves your Tampa Bay Bucs, so I thought you might be intrigued by it. Farrell, he was drafted by Tampa Bay and played pretty well for them. Now, this was many years ago.
Bad Bucs days, yeah.
But here's the fascinating thing. He was drafted by Tampa by mistake. They intended somebody else, but the card went up with Farrell's name on it. So that's who they ended up drafting. And the guy they really wanted, I can't recall the name. So they ended up trading another draft pick to get him. Like, they traded next year's number one to get another number one and draft that other guy. It turns out Farrell had a much better career than the guy that they really wanted. So,
one thing, Jimmy, I would love to see that list, wouldn't you? The top 25 Penn's great. I would love to see the list that was the source of this question. I'll tell you what,
I went through the internet trying to find the one that John referenced. There was one that was close, but I don't know if it had all three of the guys in. Anyway, let's real quick get from Perkasy in. Will Drew Aller be Penn State's all-time wins leader at quarterback, and how many records will he hold by the end of the year?
Yes, he will, to the first part. I'm thinking – I actually looked this up. I'm thinking of – I do have a number in mind for the six. I think he ends up holding six Penn State passing records.
Six. That is a very specific number there, yeah. Andy. How did you come up with that?
So does that include X amount in a single season? Those are passing records, right? So I think there's a great potential for him to hold some single season ones as well as a couple career ones. Most wins would be one. So that's where I got my number six. I think he can hold two or three single seasons, the most wins, and two career ones. That's where I'm at.
Okay,
but yeah, I think the answer to the first part, which is the most relevant, most wins.
All right, Andy, you know what? As is our tradition, I'm going to give my response to that question when we come back. Stay tuned for that.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We are going through Andy's top 10 most important players for the 2025 season. Andy, but before we get there, I didn't get a chance to respond. The last question I tried to sneak in with ask Andy was how many records would Drew Aller have at the end of the year? Would he be the all-time wins leader? He might hit all-time wins. I have to look it up, but that's one of those records where it helps playing today because if they go to a national championship game, they can play what, like 16 or 17 games?
16 games. Yeah, 17 games. Sorry, yeah.
Because there's a conference.
If they're an early seed, if they don't get a bye, yeah. 16 or 17, right? Yeah.
So that's a lot of games played. So they won 13 games last year, which, oh, I think that was the record number of wins. But it's also, you know, there was a time when there were 10 game seasons, then 11, then 12, and then a single postseason game. So it's much different in that way. On the other side, and I suspect that Brad was looking at individual passing records, here's the interesting thing. Sean Clifford, in most of the all-time records that you would think about, completions, yards, touchdowns, he amassed so many numbers, Andy, over 4 years that, and especially remember, this team turned into very much a running team. And last year, Drew Aller only would get like 22, 23 pass attempts a game. Not like 40 that you see from a lot of other teams. So I don't think he can catch Sean Clifford in most of those categories.
Correct. I agree.
He, you know, just
Sean Clifford had wide receivers. Drew Aller doesn't. End of story.
And here's the other thing. Like, in yardage, okay, we think of 3,000 yards passing as a milestone for quarterbacks to reach. Sean Clifford is more than 4,000 yards ahead of Drew Aller. But let me just remind Brad, you know, the wins and championships are what you get remembered by. Right. Trace McSorley is remembered because he won a Big Ten championship. Todd Blackledge won a national championship. John Schaefer won a national championship. Chuck Burkhart went a couple undefeated seasons. That's how you're remembered as a quarterback. All right, Andy, enough delay. We've got to get to your top three most important players. And before we get there, real quick, I'll run down from 10 to 4. You have the wide receiver position, number 10, Vega Ioane, Luke Reynolds, Zane Durant, Catron Allen, A.J. Harris, and Zaki Wheatley at number 4. Now we got to get to your top three, Andy. Who's number 3?
Yeah, it's the other running back, Nicholas Singleton. Most important, he's the big hitter in this super dynamic duo running back, right? They're distinctly different. They're very little the same per se, but he's the big hitter, right? He can, and without any notice and at any second, take something and make it dynamic. That changes games quickly, right? And that is why he is so important. He was 3rd in the Big Ten a year ago in all-purpose yards, and he was banged up, Jimmy. third, and he was banged up. I just want to remind you that a little bit. So he is important because in a nanosecond, he could switch a game around. He can literally turn a game on its head without any notice or any cause, or like you could see it coming, or this was building. You could see Penn State go. He can do that without any of that needed. And that is why he is number three on the list. And I didn't marry the running backs together. I put him third. That's it. It's pretty simple for me.
Well, Andy, I do think it's worth mentioning that you have both running backs within the top six most important. I think that's an indicator of how important that position is. I think it's also an indicator, you know, what comes first, chicken or the egg, is are they going to get so many yards because they're being given the ball because they're so good.
Yeah, okay, this offense is going to be built around them again.
Yes, it has to be. And Andy, we talked about it earlier when we were talking about Vega Ioane kind of representing the entire offensive line. That offensive line looks like a juggernaut coming into this season. It just feels like it's going to be really, really special. And when you have a special offensive line with two special running backs, that, Andy, is just a marriage that is made in heaven. And you also have a offensive coordinator who I think well recognizes this, and we see multiple tight end sets to help that cause. We see often a sixth offensive lineman, you know, doing those extra things to help the running game even more so. So, Andy, having two running backs in the top six, don't think that's unusual. I don't think that's odd. I think you hit it. They are both really that important. All right, Andy, we've only got two spots left. Who's number two?
It's the quarterback. He has to, you know, he's got to be on the list. He is not my number one. But he has to be on the list. It's interesting. So the way I look at his importance is it has to be different. He can't be exactly who you think he is, right? Which is a guy who got a little bit better, puts up good numbers, performs against most teams, but then, you know, in those bigger state games might not be exactly who you think he is. His numbers last year, and there's a reason I want to list these, 66.5% completion percentage, really good. 3,327 yards. Outstanding. 24 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Really good ratio, fine. He has the experience, and he has the seat time, and he has all the tools and talent. The performance against USC on a bigger stage in a tight spot, that was the exception last year in games that you could say were on a bigger stage. Right, Jimmy?
Yep.
He was fine in the playoffs, but then against Notre Dame, he was the problem. They didn't score an offensive touchdown against Ohio State and lost the game, right? A close game. Did not score an offensive touchdown in that game. In other words, his importance is performances and the way he played against USC in these bigger stage games needs to be the norm and not the exception. Otherwise, Penn State might be a two-loss regular season team. There's no other way to put it. All the help around him and all that they have going on offense, despite the Salisbury stake at the wide receiver position, if he can make his best performances the bigger stage the norm rather than the exception. In other words, he struggles on bigger stages. He's outstanding against everybody else. That script has to flip. Otherwise, you're looking at a very similar probably results in 2025 that you had in 2024. And he's a really good quarterback, and he will get better.
Andy, he is tied at the hip so much to James Franklin that can't win the big game title. And I think all the tools are there. Okay, big, strong, smart. Showed more mobility last year. I thought showed better decision making, especially when deciding when to tuck it and run. All of those things, I think he has shown he can do it. The question was, could he do it in a big game? Now, whether you want to say, okay, USC, not a great team, but Penn State was down multiple touchdowns in that second half against USC. And essentially, that was their season on the line, and he performed. He performed exceptionally in that position. So we've seen him able to do it. Now we've got to see that against one of the name brands. And he's going to have two opportunities in the regular season, both Oregon and Ohio State, Andy.
The best game, and this is my last thing, the best game Drew Aller has played as the Penn State quarterback was in a loss. Start to finish, A to Z, quality opponent, Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. He was outstanding. That needs to be his standard.
That's a great, great point. That was him doing it against the name brand opponent. All right, Andy, all we're left with is number one. Who do you got?
It is defensive end Danai Dennis-Sutton, right? They lost an All-American in depth at the position. Defensive end, right? You got greenhorns and transfers behind him. He's a dude. He is an elite talent. 42 tackles, 8.5 sacks, 13 tackles for a loss last year. Couple fumble recoveries. That ridiculously memorable interception. He is a freak. He is a super talent. There's not a lot behind him. It is important that he be that guy. He's still Penn State as a defense, Penn State defensive coordinator, and Danai Dennis-Sutton need to find him a way to make him the dude that we all know he is, with a little bit less help around, well, a lot less help when it comes to the other side, a lot less help around him. That's a tall task. This guy's up for it. For me, for this defense to be as good as we think it can be, he is really, really important.
That's a good call, Andy. And I am so glad that you mentioned that interception that he made.
Because ridiculous.
I think we all knew he was really good, and you couldn't put him on the same level as Abdul Carter. And right. I still won't. Abdul Carter is just a freak. I mean, and he's not just that level at Penn State, but compared to the rest of college football, it's why he might be the number one pick in the NFL draft, okay? But with that one play, Danai Dennis-Sutton showed us so much athleticism that for a guy his size, Andy, that is something special. All right, real quick, last time, the rundown of Andy's top 10 most important. Number 10, the wide receiver position. Vega Ioane, 9. Luke Reynolds, 8. Zane Durant, 7. Katron Allen, 6. A.J. Harris, 5. Zaki Wheatley, 4. Nick Singleton, 3. Drew Aller, 2. Number one most important player, Danai Dennis-Sutton. Andy, thank you for your list. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and Cafe Tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.